Welcome to Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. I am your host, Henrik Johansson. I am the CEO and one of the founders of Gemba. Gemba helps entrepreneurs and companies to turn their great ideas into awesome new consumer products. Please stay to the end of the podcast and you'll learn how you can be our next guest on Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. Let's do it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. Super excited to have one of our Gemba's customers as a guest today, who's built an exciting company, and we're going to learn all about it today. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to David Hathaway. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Oh, we're excited to have you here. Before we jump in and start talking about your company, why don't you give our audience a little bit of an overview of who you are outside of business, where you come from, family, dogs, whatever, what keeps you busy outside of work?
Sure, a lot, actually. I currently live in Neptune Beach, Florida, which is where I was born and raised, about a block off the beach with my childhood sweetheart, high school girlfriend throughout college. And now we have two young boys who aren't as young as they used to be, 13 and 15. Our fence is closed. In the late 90s, I attended the University of Virginia and majored in finance. I took a job as a Wall Street derivatives trader out of college at Bank of America, and we lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for a little over 10 years, and I was an interest rate derivatives trader on Wall Street or so, however you want to say it, even though it was in Charlotte. For a little over 10 years, after being fed up with the big banking scene, I left in 2012. And started a global macro hedge fund here in Neptune Beach, Florida, moved back to the beach from Charlotte with my family and managed that with one business partner, again, a block off the ocean. I figured we all have choices.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
If you have a choice, I choose to live near the beach. So I ran a hedge fund on my own with a business partner for 10 years. And post-COVID, he decided he wanted to retire. So I semi-retired and started looking at various entrepreneurial opportunities and ventures. I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. I actually started my own hedge fund when I was 14 while still in high school, which probably helped me get into UVA. It's not as easy out of state. But I've started a series of businesses, one of which I'm working with Gemba, and that is called Sunsail Shades, which is a beach shade product inspired by several of the brands currently on the market and taking their best concepts and bringing a more affordable solution to consumers across the space.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll dig into that in just a minute. Before we go there, can you tell me a little bit about how you started businesses before, but quite different than a product business? So first, was the entrepreneurship always in your DNA?
Yes, I remember even as a little boy, I don't quite remember how old I was, but maybe 8-10 years old, going around the neighborhood, knocking on doors, trying to raise money or trying to get people to let me mow their yard or wash their car. Remember one time I get this old lady to allow me to mow her yard. And I go in the backyard and literally the grass hadn't been mowed in maybe 8 years. It was taller than I was. I'm not a very tall human being. And so there's a lot of challenges and opportunities along the way. Yeah, I was always starting businesses or trying to make money and learning from challenges and fighting the good fight. The roller coaster, if you will.
Yeah, but it builds muscle, right? So you've done it before. I think people who start a business the first time, it's overwhelming. And I was not an entrepreneur growing up. My family was the furthest from entrepreneurial, I'd say. So the first one, for me at least, took a while. It was like, how do you do this? Can I do this? I don't know everything. And it's easy to come up with excuses for why you can't do it. But it's beautiful when you get an early start like you, because then it's kind of part of what you do, right?
Yeah, and I've always been an independent thinker and wanting to work. I do work in teams, but being either the sole decision maker or bearing the brunt of the full amount of responsibility has always been something that I've cherished.
Yeah, that's great. So you said
good
you
and bad, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you mentioned you're a block from the beach and you started seeing these type of products. Can you tell me a little more about that? How did that go
sure.
from?
So interestingly, the opportunity did not come at my beach. My family takes a family vacation with our in-laws up to Pawleys Island, South Carolina. And I had never seen this product. And we were sitting on the beach and I see what's called a Shibumi shade. I didn't know it at the time. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And we didn't know what it was. I didn't go ask. It was several blocks down the beach. So we started Googling beach shades, beach canopies, beach tents. We go on Amazon and we couldn't find anything. And I thought that was pretty odd. I figured you'd use some keywords in Amazon and boom, there it is. So we never found it. And the next day, my wife did a little more digging on Google and finally came across it, called the Shibumi shade. We were like, oh, that's cool. So we go on to buy it. And the first thing we noticed is like, holy cow, this thing's $250. Wow, that's a lot for a piece of fabric on a tent pole. So we decided not to buy it. And then we went the next day and our umbrellas were blowing away and whatnot. So I go to buy it and it wasn't in stock. And the message on the site said, come back on October 1st. This was 2021. Come back on October 1st and we'll have more in stock at 10 o'clock. It was very specific. So this is in June. So I set my calendar alert on the phone, 10 o'clock, October 1st, or maybe it was September 1st, either way. And it pops up on the date and I go, oh, shoot, let's go buy it. 10:01. And they're out of stock again. And I'm like, what's going on? First of all, it's a bizarre name. Second of all, there's obviously not some Google analytics going on behind the scenes because it took us 2 days to find it. It's not on Amazon. It's $250. It's never in stock. So I just started thinking, there's a business opportunity here. There can't be too much involved with a tent pole and a piece of fabric.
Yeah.
So I did a little more research and I noticed there's some patents involved. So I hired an IP attorney who dug into the patents and he said, David, if you innovate around this and this, you improve this and this, you should be in the clear and you're good to go. So we did. And so in the summer of 2022, we had our first kind of test batch of 1,000 units that I worked with Gemba, your engineers, my lawyers, your factory logistics throughout China. And we got 1,000 of them shipped here. And I sold out in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Very little ad spend. We didn't even have time to capture the data.
Yeah.
On what was important, what keywords were turning over, what was a good day of ROAS? It didn't matter. This thing was flying off the proverbial shelves, the e-commerce shelves. And so
we did.
I'm on to something here.
Real quick on that, did you sell on Amazon or did you sell on your own site or how did you go to market?
Both. Okay. So it took a little longer to get the Amazon listing up. And so I sold for the first, I'd say I sold that in 2 weeks, maybe it was three. So the first week or so, we were just DT on the website and then Amazon kicked in and then we were virtually out to the point where I had 100 left and I was like, okay, let's raise the price again and again and let's just stop spending on ads at all. Let's just have the organic reach. And so the last 100 were more profitable, but we could have been out probably a week if we were fine tuned. So I felt like I was onto something and we ordered a whole nother 40-foot containers worth and we're working and we continue to do
so. Yeah, that's awesome. And now today you're still selling both D2C and Amazon?
Yep. We've had, and again, I think it's crucial in the e-commerce space to be as equally split as you can. Mm-hmm. You can't ignore Amazon. We've had tremendous success at Walmart. It's not as expensive.
Oh, really?
Walmart.com and then driving traffic from Google and social media to our website.
That's great. So you sell on Walmart, Amazon, and direct?
Direct to consumer.
Yeah, that's great. And how do you handle warehousing and fulfillment?
Sure. So I have a third-party logistics manager in Austin, Texas. who I believe was a previous employee of Gemba, named Vance Euclid, who's, I might be pronouncing that. I wouldn't say it's mom and pop, but it's, if I send Vance a text or an email, he responds personally immediately. Or if I ask him something like that, I think that's important. I explored the ship bobs and the ship monks of the world. I think when I get to scale, that probably makes sense. But having someone like Vance, who's directly in the center of the country, able to accept the container, store the inventory, and then ship the inventory has been vital.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So how was the product development journey? Describe it as at least your initial impression was that this should be pretty easy, a couple of poles and a piece of cloth. Did it turn out to be that easy, or were there some complexities in the development?
The key to the initial patent that Shumi had was the novel aspect of what they innovated or invented was that the center anchor cord that counterweights the frame from blowing back when the sail catches the wind is also filled with sand and used as a counterweight. So not only do you carry the entire device inside this bag, but the bag also operates as a counterweight. So I had to work with your engineers and frankly, trial and error for myself because I live right on the beach. I can try a lot of things. Yeah. More, no offense to Gemba, but more than your engineers could imagine.
Yeah.
And one day I was fishing with my son and we were anchoring the fishing poles into the ground with those tall PVC pipes. And I thought, these things, if they can hold it, we're catching 20-pound sharks or something right off the coast. If they can hold a fishing pole in there, I'm sure they can provide the leverage to hold a canopy and against the wind. And so we tried that and that worked. And then I thought, what if I want to use this on grass? This thing doesn't really work because my kids play soccer. And I thought this would be a great, another great product to have as opposed to this heavy tent that all the parents put up at the soccer fields. Mm-hmm. And so we worked with your sourcing team to find anchor screws that would screw in and were sturdy enough and strong enough to get deep enough into the ground, but still be easy to twist to provide that leverage. So that was the challenge from that point of view. And then I wanted to be UV50 because the competition is UV30. So we worked with your team to develop the right repellent. I wanted to be, to the extent that it matters, waterproof, just in case we get thunderstorms that roll in pretty quickly and not a bad thing to have a little bit of protection there. But it wasn't, we weren't inventing penicillin here. It was a tremendous, or an electronic piece of equipment. Tremendous.
But yeah, you're humble. You did a lot of things there that are probably not obvious to every entrepreneur first. You recognize that there could be intellectual property issues and you dug in, you paid for an attorney and researched that. I think that we get those questions all the time. Do you help with IP? And we're not legal counsel, so we can't give legal advice. So we always recommend to work with an attorney. And it sounds that process, not only does it identify what you should not do, what's patentable from somebody else, but then it also can give you ideas on what you could create differently, right? And how potentially create your own patent.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of prior art in this space. I draw an analogy to this is simply a flag hung horizontally. So and through living this and going through the IP that has existed for a long time and presently and is continuously being claimed, there's a lot of prior art. A guy built a very similar contraption or product on YouTube and called the Butterfly Arch. And in 2000, a South Korean issued a patent in 2012 in South Korea that's basically the exact same design. It doesn't have any protection here in the United States, but there's a lot of prior art, and you certainly want to have a non-infringement opinion before going into competition, especially with a larger, more well-funded rival.
Yeah.
Or series of rivals.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
my thought always goes back to is there's not a product that I can think of that doesn't have some sort of competition, and competition is good for the American consumer and for consumers in general. And therefore, as long as you're respecting intellectual property rights, but you are offering a different, whether it's superior or not superior, alternative, maybe at a different price point, that can only benefit the consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, when you go into a new space, if you're going into a relatively competitive space, then you know that there's demand, right? Like you, that was one of the trigger points, it seems like, to you. You see, oh, this product's selling out. And as soon as they get new inventory, it's selling out again. Then now you know you're on something that, yes, there's competition, but you're not competing with
Nike.
And
not only that, like I said, I guess I hinted on it, but I only saw this in South Carolina. I had never seen one in Florida where I am. This was, again, in 2021. And even when I go to the beach now, as many units as I've sold or the competition has sold, you still only see a few, which hundreds of people, either unprotected or 30 of those huge, awful tents or little cheap umbrellas. And I think this solution the product sells itself. If people see it and they can afford it, they 100% buy it. That has not been the challenge of this business.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, we have little known coast in Texas down in Port Aransas, called Redneck Riviera.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
There's a lot of wind there. And many times I've seen poor families trying to set up some kind of some tent or something, and inevitably blows away. It's definitely needed, and skin cancer is a real threat. So it's a great product that you're making. And
we've noticed, just anecdotally, and I know there's probably scientific data, but it's getting hotter and it's getting windier. Mm-hmm. And that's only going to continue, I would think.
Yeah.
So this is a very simple way, and you can set up a sun sail to cover 6 adults literally in 2 or 3 minutes. You can take it down in 2 or 3 minutes, and it only weighs 3 to 4 pounds. So the solution, and it looks pretty when you're under it. So the solution's fantastic.
Yeah.
The demand is surely there and rising.
Yeah. And I love what you talked about too, how you got so personally engaged in trying out the product and working directly with engineers, not just waiting for someone else to solve your problem, but actually going out there and looking at alternative solutions. And that's something I see. I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs in this podcast, and I don't think I talked to anybody that did not get very personally and emotionally engaged in the product and really delved into either talking directly to customers or wholesalers or retailers to really truly understand what's the problem we're solving here. I think sometimes on Amazon, people that just want a get rich quick scheme and order something on Amazon and sell it and hope that's going to work out. I don't think that's a very sustainable way to build a business, right? Or create a differentiated product.
No, not in the long term. I completely agree.
Yeah. So did you self-fund this? You've had some success with prior businesses, or did you go raise capital from the outside?
I did. And so I have self-funded. I'm the sole owner, sole investor through the LLC, taken some small loans from, my dad passed away 3 years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And he left my stepmom all the money, which is fine. And we were very close. There's no animosity in this situation. But I've taken some small loans from her. The challenge of this business, or one of them, is it's very seasonal. Percent, maybe 80% of the business is done between May and early August. And then the rest is around the holidays with a smattering in the other months. And the supply cycle is about 4 to 5 months. So you're fronting the inventory, or you're fronting the cash for the inventory. You're not getting repaid until you sell out. And that's about a 9-month cycle. So it's sort of like a line of credit that you need to have to grow. And because I was a trader for 10 years at the hedge fund, my income wasn't smooth. So I'd make a bunch of money 1 year and then not make any money the next year. It depends on, how we performed. fortunately, at the end, we performed really well before he retired. But yeah, so to answer your question, long story short, I've self-funded to date. If I need to, what I need to grow, and I am exploring a seed round. You wouldn't call it a Series A or anything like that. It would be a seed round at this point. And I'm looking into that. I've been selfish because it's such a great business that I want it all to myself. But to really grow and scale, I'm going to need a partner. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly as you bring up something to think about if we have new entrepreneurs listening, and the cash flow issues are real, right? And like, you have to think about production times, and you have to think about seasonality, and plan the whole year in advance. Because like you said, once you're halfway through the season, you're out of product, you don't have enough time to get more product.
You don't. And so I basically, to be prepared for the summer, I have to be confident enough in November, the previous year, to put down a pretty hefty chunk of change to get a 40-foot container or two filled to be ready to hit the summer hard. But then you're not getting that chunk of change that you laid down in November back until July or August, completely.
Yeah, it sounds, and, you know, sounds.
And I'm not, I'm just stubborn. I'm not willing to pay 13, 14, 15%.
Yeah, that's going to eat up all your profits.
Right.
So what's ahead here? You said you, when you made those decisions back in November, sounds like your good season's just starting now.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it, the season kicks off mid-May, just before Memorial Day. Hmm. And then the best days are late June, early going into July 4th. But it can still be pretty steady. I read a book, forget, Company of One, I believe it's called. It changed my mindset a little, and it was, I don't have to turn this into a $50 million business, even though it can be. I can still be content growing 50% a year as opposed to 500. And so that kind of changed my mindset a little bit and made me a little bit more selfish about giving away equity for cash. But it's a balancing act. And if I find the right partner, I think I really need to find not just the cash, but I need to find the right partner. Because as much as I'm involved and as much as I've learned and as all my experience, I'm the only one making decisions on the business, really. And like I said, I do enjoy that, but it would be nice to have a partner that would bring a fresh perspective or a different idea. And there's a lot of smart people out there that the right partner wanted to partner and bring the cash, it sure would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have you thought about retail and going that path potentially?
So we do sell via retail in bulk, but to be honest, I don't have the inventory scale. I make so much more money. Obviously, retail tends to be 30 to 40%, sometimes 50% if you're dealing with a Costco or a Target. And unless I'm selling 10,000, 20,000 units to them, I'm not really interested in that.
Yeah, makes sense. Good problems to have. Congrats on all the progress.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's awesome. So what's the, I was going to say this, I think you're thinking about it exactly the right way about the funding. A lot of people, again, by raise venture capital, this is my fourth venture capital funded business. And it's nice to raise money, you get resources. But like you said, you always also give up a piece of your company and you give it up to investors that expect a certain return. And now suddenly your exit options, if your goal is to sell the business, are more limited, because before, like you own 100% of a company, selling it for $3 million might be great, or 5 million or 10 million, whatever it is.
Sure.
You bring in an investor that wants a 5X, 10X return. Now suddenly you got to sell for 20 or 25, and that's obviously harder, but then also you significantly reduce the amount of potential buyers of the business. So that's something I've seen that a lot of people don't really think about up front. And to your point, that you don't make any more money sending. If you own 100% of a business sells for $10 million, you make $10 million. Or if you own 10% of one that sells for $100 million. So I think you're thinking about that in the right way.
I appreciate that.
Awesome. What's next? The next 12 months, you got the season coming here, and then you're going to have to make another tough decision in November.
Yeah, I think we will 100% sell out. We've added some new features to the product that I think will improve the product. I use the product on a weekly basis. So there, and I see, and we don't have very many returns, what I would call legitimate returns. I will caution any of your listeners that 5 to 15% of consumers on Amazon will abuse you. So that's just a cost of doing business on Amazon in my mind, especially with, unfortunately, with a product like mine, people will buy it, use it on their vacation, and then it's inside the 30-day window and return it. Anyway, back to my point, I'm looking for ways to improve the product, the opportunities to leverage other products with it that pair nicely. So I guess in the e-com space, that would be additional add to carts at the end, working with influencers to build the brand, I think is going to be important. No one knows. I mean, you have to be me to know who the top 5 beach shade companies are in the United States. I know they're not household names.
Yeah.
No one's become Yeti. No one's become Solo Stove.
Yeah.
I'm always curious to wonder why a Coleman or a massive tent recreational outdoor company doesn't enter this space, because it is so lucrative, to be honest. So I think it's important to build my brand, concentrate on quality, concentrate on the consumer, the experience, and really, from my Wall Street perspective, I'm tuning my return, squeezing every dollar I can. And I can outsource almost every aspect of the business and still maintain almost full control.
Yeah, that's great. To your point that there's probably going to be some M&A in the future in this space then, right? If I see that more and more, how the bigger brands are just buying themselves innovation rather than innovating themselves.
And one of the larger companies in the space has been acquired by private equity. They started small in their garage as well, and private equity has taken interest. So yeah, again, that goes to the right partnership.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish you the best. We'll continue to promote you and help in any way we can. And hopefully we can find some good partners.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk to any of your listeners willing to listen. They can get me at david@sunsailshades.com.
Yeah. That's awesome. And if people want to reach you, what's the best way? Sunshields at the website.
Yeah, that email is the best.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So we're at time here. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing so openly and candidly. And thank you for being again my customer. Any last words of advice? A lot of our listeners are either successful product entrepreneurs or beginning product entrepreneurs. What, over this last few years, what's one thing you would want to share with them?
I would say, as a trader for 20 years, you experience highs and lows almost minute to minute, but certainly hour to hour. The entrepreneurial experience, or especially in the product space, is a little slower, but no less the same. It is a roller coaster, and overcoming your fears of doing one thing, don't give up. It sounds cliche, but there will be a lot of down days and there will be a lot of good days, and human emotions overvalue the negatives and undervalue the positive, but stay the course and it'll be worth it.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. It's part of why I want to do this podcast, actually, because if you're in the media, or Inc. Magazine, a Fast Company, they just talk about the overnight success stories, right? Oh, this native grew from nothing to 100 million in 2 years. And that's not really helpful for most entrepreneurs.
It's a roller coaster. There's going to be some bad days. When I get a negative customer review, I'm like, and I get it. It comes to me. I'm like, no, especially because it's preventable in my space. They just don't use the product right, but because they don't watch the tutorial video, but you can't control that. And I've done is just mentally 10, 20, 20% of the people are going to be 80% of your problem. And you can think of that as an exponential factor on the reverse. So yeah, I hear you. It'll be a roller coaster, but I think it's worth
Yeah, roller coasters are fun.
it.
All right, David, thank you again. Really appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day and the rest of the year, and good luck this summer season.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
Take care.
All righty, this is Henrik Johansson again. Thank you so much for listening to Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. If you are a successful product entrepreneur or you work in a company that creates new products and you have an interesting story about how you developed your product and brought it to market, and you would like to be on this podcast, please go to Gemba.com and click on podcast, and you can fill out an application to be on the podcast. Would love to hear from you. If you liked this podcast, if you enjoyed this interview, and we would greatly appreciate if you would share it on social media. You can just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know anyone that you think would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Innovator Insights. And would love to see your post and any suggestions you have to guests. That's how we find most of our guests, from suggestion from other listeners. We're regularly putting out new episodes and new content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a ton to me and the team. We really appreciate it. Do you want to know more about Gemba, me, or the podcast? Please go to gemba.com and click on podcast, or you can follow me on LinkedIn. That's where I do most of my posts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day.